Now, with the latest from the world of technology, this is the Tech Guide Podcast with Stephen Fenwick.
Let's jump straight in. Tech Guide. This was a real effort to push into that growing consumer space, very competitive space in Australia. Tech Guide. It does give the user plenty of options, whether you're working or viewing content on the device.
Keeping you updated and educated. This is the Tech Guide Podcast.
Knowing Apple, you just don't know what to expect. Tech Guide. They've gone from taking an excellent device and they've made it even better. It's had a redesign inside and out.
Now, from the studios of techguide.com.au, Stephen Fenwick.
Hello and welcome to Tech Guide, episode 126, the podcast that keeps you updated and educated about the latest in consumer technology. It's great to have your company once again. Hello to all the first-timers as well. We're glad you're on board. My name is Stephen Fenwick and I'm the editor of techguide.com.au. On this week's show, Foxtel and Channel 7 join forces to take on Netflix. Sony releases the 20th anniversary edition of the PlayStation 4. And Bond, James Bond, is back in the 24th film of the franchise. In the Tech Guide reviews, we take a look at the Henge Dock for your MacBook Pro and the new Wemo smart bulbs from Belkin. And in the Tech Guide interview, we chat exclusively with Ruslan Kogan, founder and CEO of electronics retail site Kogan.com. And we'll finish off with the Tech Guide Help Desk. And it's all brought to you by Netgear, Australia's number one brand of home Wi-Fi products. Plenty to talk about, so let's get cracking. Well, let's open up the show with a story that just was released this week, and it's about a partnership between Presto, which is owned by Foxtel, the on-demand, pay TV company. Presto is the on-demand subscription service that is owned by Foxtel, and they've partnered with Channel 7, or 7 West Media, which is the company behind it. And the reason they've done this is not mentioned in the press release, but it's pretty easy to speculate the reason behind this union between Presto and Foxtel, Presto and Channel 7, and that's to combat the approaching threat of Netflix. Netflix, we announced a few weeks ago, is coming to Australia in March 2015, and with it, it will bring a fair amount of very interesting content that really keeps people within the Netflix family. Shows like House of Cards, starring Kevin Spacey, Orange is the New Black, the prison show, that are just two of the many titles that has made Netflix quite a massive hit in the US. And we'll no doubt they'll bring those latest seasons of those programs to Australia when they arrive here and in New Zealand in March. Now, Foxtel currently have the rights to those programs I just mentioned, the first two seasons of those programs. But the third seasons and future seasons will only be shown here in Australia if you are a Netflix customer. So the reason behind this partnership, it's pretty obvious that they're trying to circle the wagons. They're trying to form this partnership as a bit of a preemptive strike against Netflix. So Foxtel, through Presto, their on-demand subscription service, and Channel 7 through 7 West Media, the content arm of Channel 7, are going to try to create a network, a subscription service that will combine both movie and TV content and give customers real value, quality content that will keep them in the Foxtel family, and also Channel 7 obviously coming in to help that cause as well. Netflix haven't yet revealed the pricing models that they'll be taking on board here in Australia. In the US, it's only $8.99 per month, that's US dollars, for an all-you-can-eat service, which includes TV, TV shows and movies. So we haven't heard Aussie pricing as yet, nor have we heard adjusted pricing for Presto. Presto, when it first came out, was $19.95 a few months ago, but was soon adjusted down to just $9.95. So not long after launch, they realized that there was better value to be had for $10 a month. Not sure if that price is going to change once this partnership with Channel 7 takes hold, but it'll be interesting to see the price comparison, because that is the other factor that customers make up their mind. It's not just the content that's available to them on each respective service, but also the price they're going to be paying. Presto service is quite handy because you can view it on TV. If you've got a Google Chromecast, you can stream it off your device to your television. You can view it on selected Android tablets, on iPads, PCs, and Macs. Netflix has a similar use. You can view it on several devices, whether it's a tablet on the go, a smartphone, or on television. So pretty much pretty similar in that respect, Presto and Netflix. But the battle lines have been drawn, everybody, and it's going to be interesting to see this play out early in 2015. We're going to keep a very close eye on it. If you want to read more about this battle, this looming battle, you can do that at techguide.com.au.
This is Tech Guide with Stephen Fenwick.
Tech Guide.
Keeping you updated and educated.
Well, it is very hard to believe it's already 20 years since the release of the original PlayStation. Can you believe it? December 1994. Where were you? Were you born? Are you older than 20? Are you younger than 20? I'm definitely way older than 20, and I do remember when the PS1 first hit the market, December 3, to be precise, 1994. Now, Sony have come a long way in the gaming. They're up to PlayStation 4 now, and what they've done is they've actually created a commemorative 20th anniversary edition of the PlayStation 4, limited to just 12,300 units. That number reflects the release date, 3rd of the 12th, so in America it'd be 12th of the 3rd. 12,300 units, all numbered, by the way, and you can get your hands on one of these units. You can either win one through in here in Australia, or you can purchase one from the US or eBay. There's going to be plenty to be sold in the coming months when they've just hit the market. I think they're going to be a red-hot item for anyone who's interested in owning a little piece of history there. Now, the console, PlayStation, was the first home console to sell more than 100 million units, which was a real shift in gaming at home. So the first computer console, the gaming console that allowed you to play games on your television. Computer gaming was obviously around before that, but the PlayStation really made it easier to just plug this into your television and play these high quality games without having to be stuck logged into a PC. So PlayStation really sort of shifted the way we play games at home. Along came Xbox, of course, a few years later, and here we are today. PlayStation 4 is the current model. And this limited edition PlayStation 4 is the original grey colour of the PS1. If you do recall, that light grey colour, the PS4 commemorative edition created from that exact same colour. There is a little plaque to signify the number of 12,300 that model happens to be. There's also very fine printing of the PlayStation symbols, the circle, the square, the triangle, and the box. As well as a little 2 and 0, so to signify the 20th anniversary edition. Quite a fine bit of hardware. It's got 500 gig hard drive on board, has a DualShock controller, the camera, as well as a mono headset, and all in the same color, that gray color as well. Priced at US dollars, $499. You can check out what it looks like and where you can buy it at techguide.com.au. Well, he's been around for more than 50 years, and he's a massive lover of all the cool gadgets. Of course, I'm talking about none other than the super spy himself, Mr. James Bond. James Bond, as he does love to announce, to introduce himself. Well, late last week, they did announce that our gadget-loving spy is going to be back in the 24th film of the franchise, which is going to be called Spectre. Now, anyone who's a bit of a James Bond fan will have heard that name before. This is the terrorist group that has been the nemesis of Bond, many of the Bond characters over the years in a number of films, right from the beginning, from Dr. No, Thunderball, From Russia with Love, Diamonds Are Forever. They've all featured these characters from Spectre, and some are very memorable villains indeed. Daniel Craig is back as Bond. The new villain will be Christoph Waltz. Now, you may recall he made his debut, his Hollywood debut, in the Quentin Tarantino film Inglourious Basterds. Now, he's gone on to win 2 Academy Awards, so he's quite an accomplished actor. I did have the privilege of interviewing Christoph Waltz many years ago when I was still working at the Telegraph, when he was here to promote Inglourious Basterds. I did have the pleasure to sit down. A lovely, lovely guy, has really come along in leaps and bounds. His career is really on fire at the moment. The Bond girls on board is Monica Bellucci, a famous Italian actress who's now in the Bond girl role, and Lee Seydoux as well is the other Bond girl, as well as the return of all the other characters, and of course the gadgets, and an Aston Martin specially designed for the film, the DB10. There's only going to be 10 models made, specially designed for Mr. Bond himself, and of course will be featured in the films. The film's going to be directed by Sam Mendes, who was the Oscar-winning director of American Beauty back in the day, but also directed the previous Bond film, Skyfall, which has been to date the most successful Bond film of the franchise. Well, the filming has started this week in London, and it won't hit cinemas till November the 6th, 2015. So keep an eye out for that. No doubt by that time he would have unveiled some of the cool gadgets he'll be using in the film as well. They've got quite a wild imagination, the Bond writers. But that is something to look forward to. Spectre, November the 6th, 2015. You've got to check out a picture of the cast and even a video of the announcement, as well as a picture of that really cool Aston Martin. You know where to go. Techguide.com.au.
Tech Guide. This is Tech Guide with Stephen Finnick.
The Tech Guide podcast is proudly sponsored by Netgear, Australia's number one Wi-Fi brand. And you need to ask yourself, how many Wi-Fi devices do you have at home? We've got our laptops, we've got tablets, we've got iPads, smartphones, gaming consoles, smart TVs, music streamers, receivers, the list goes on and on. And if you're like just the average Aussie home, you probably have 10 or more devices all connected to your Wi-Fi network. Well, Netgear says now is the time to upgrade your home network to the next generation AC Wi-Fi from Netgear and get the best experience from all your gadgets and devices. When you upgrade to 802.11 AC Wi-Fi, that's the latest Wi-Fi standard that's compatible with all the latest smartphones, tablets, and laptops, you'll enjoy video and music streaming with no buffering, more reliable Wi-Fi connectivity and coverage, faster loading of websites, videos, and email attachments, and much, much more. So check out Netgear's range of next-generation AC Wi-Fi products, and we're talking modems, routers, range extenders. You can check them all out at netgear.com.au and do more with your devices this summer.
Tech Guide. Now, a Tech Guide review with Stephen Fenwick. Tech Guide.
Now, if anyone owns a MacBook Pro with Retina display, we're talking 13-inch and 15-inch, we'll be very interested in this next product. It's called the Henge Dock. Now, it serves a couple of purposes here. Number one, it's a really handy way to store your MacBook Pro when you're not using it. The dock itself fits the MacBook Pro in sideways, so the left edge of the MacBook Pro goes down into the product, into the Henge dock. But what's underneath, all the ports that are along that left edge all line up with ports inside the Henge dock. So you can extend those ports even when the MacBook Pro is resting inside the Henge dock. You can extend those ports, and I'm talking the power cable, to Thunderbolt connections, which are also mini display ports, a USB 3 port, an audio port as well, a 3.5mm audio port. So you can extend those to your desktop. So you can still access those even when it's resting in the dock. So it's ideal if a user who wants to set up a desktop with, say, a monitor or even a couple of monitors, a wireless keyboard and other equipment, and it can all be powered by the MacBook Pro when it's docked into the Henge dock, because all those connections, they line up perfectly. Cables extend out the back of the Henge dock to connect to the monitors and your other peripherals, and you're away. So having a MacBook Pro, you can then turn it into a desktop solution as well as a portable solution. And if you do need to hit the road with your MacBook Pro, simply pull it out of the hinge dock, put it into your shoulder bag, and away you go. But then when you get back to your desk, you can then slip the MacBook Pro back in the hinge dock. All of those ports line up precisely. Then your monitor's connected, everything's connected, and you've got everything on the bigger screen on your monitor. You can have a wireless keyboard, wireless mouse as well if you want, but it does really present an excellent solution to if you do have a MacBook Pro that you use both at home and on the move. Now, the hinge dock itself is made of aluminium, the same type of aluminium that the MacBook Pro is actually constructed from. There's a rubber interior so that when you slide the MacBook Pro in and out of the case, it's not going to scratch your precious MacBook Pro. So that's a really thoughtful. It's quite sturdy. It's got a very wide base with rubberized, with rubber feet on the bottom. So not only is it stable just from the sheer size of the and weight of the stand, but the rubber feet also hold it in place. So it's very easy to take the MacBook Pro in and out. Cables then stream out of the back. So once all those cables are connected to all your ports down the left edge of your MacBook Pro, the cables can then be positioned out and out of the back of the hinge dock, so you can neatly put those cables out of sight. So it does the mini display ports. There's two of them. That's also a Thunderbolt dock as well. So the cables that come with hinge dock has mini display ports. So if you want to connect a monitor to the Thunderbolt, that's the same shaped connection. You can choose to either connect a monitor, use maybe one Thunderbolt for your monitor, the other Thunderbolt to connect actually a hard drive, but you'll need to change to a Thunderbolt cable because there's mini display port cables that come with the product. So that's the choice you need to make. So the hinge dock, really solidly built. If you're a MacBook Pro user and use it, as I said, both at home or in the office and on the go, and you do happen to have an external monitor, this can really marry them together quite nicely. The pricing is $149.99. There's a hinge dock available for both the 15-inch and the 13-inch MacBook Pro. They're both the same price because they're both about the same size, I guess. So it doesn't really matter what size you have. There is one for either the 13 and the 15-inch MacBook Pro, $149.99. And if you want to check out my rating out of 5 stars and read my complete review, you can do that at techguide.com.au.
Keeping you updated and educated. This is Tech Guide with Stephen Finney.
Tech Guide.
Well, smart lighting is something that we're seeing a lot more of nowadays. And Belkin, who has already had great success with their Wemo line of products, and I'm talking Wemo switches, Wemo light switches, well, the latest addition to the Wemo family are smart bulbs, LED smart bulbs, as a matter of fact. So what that means is that with a starter pack, so you do get a couple of bulbs as well as a tiny bridge. So you do get the Wemo Link, they call it, and two bulbs. That's $169.95. You can connect that link to your router, and then that link, that small bridge, can talk to up to 50 individual smart bulbs in your home. So you can turn them on, turn them off, dim them, program them to turn on at certain times. You can use your Wemo, connect them to other Wemo products. You can do things like control the lights. So obviously when they turn on and off, you can create rules based on, say, you want the lights to come on at sunset, turn off at sunrise. You can do that. You can also, and this is very handy if you're going to have these around your home, there's also a vacation mode. So you can program these bulbs to turn off and on in various parts of your home so that people will think when you're out away on vacation that someone is actually still living in your home. So that's a really great safety feature there. If you want to, a good security feature to give the people that impression, vacation mode, really cool feature. There's also a dim to sleep feature. So you may set it for a certain time, a set period of time. And over that period of time, the bulb dims slowly till it turns off completely. So it's great if you've got it beside your bed, you may be reading, you fall asleep, and if after a certain time, you'll see that the light has turned off completely. So rather than you waking up, the light is still burning there beside your bed, the small, slow dim would have worked its magic and turned itself off. Now, you need to start off with the starter set. So you do need that bridge, the Wemo Link. And you get two bulbs in that starter set, $169.95. And then each individual bulb you can buy at $49.95. So each of the bulbs has a wireless connection. I should add, too, that the bulb has the gives off the same amount of light as a 60-watt globe. And a lot of people are thinking, wow, $49.95 is pretty expensive for a bulb. Well, when you consider that the lifespan of each of those bulbs is up to 23 years, I think you're going to make your money back over time. So it's well worth spending that money now so that they last for up to 23 years. That's a long time between drinks. You don't have to put your hand in your pocket for a new bulb for that time. The Belkin Wemo Smart Bulbs, they're available now, and you can read my full story as well as look at all those prices at techguide.com.au.
Tech Guide. Now, a Tech Guide interview.
Tech Guide.
Well, our Tech Guide interview is with Ruslan Kogan, and Ruslan is the man who decided to create an empire. Well, at the time, back in 2006, he decided to start selling TVs online. They laughed at him. They thought, no one is ever going to buy a TV online. Well, didn't he prove them wrong? To date, he's now sold millions and millions of TVs online, as well as branching out into other items, selling smartphones and tablets and cameras and you name it. Kogan sells it. The price the site offers very competitive pricing because it brings products direct from factory to you. So it cuts out a lot of middlemen. There's no bricks and mortar store. It's the way that they can really reduce all their overheads and pass the savings on to you. Well, just last week, Kogan released their figures from their visitors. Very interesting figures between the differences of the way men shop and women shop, from what devices they're using, operating systems, some really interesting stats. So we thought we'd have him along, Ruslan Kogan. We decided to have a chat with him about not only those stats, but also the state of the market in general, what's hot for Christmas, and the differences and advantages of an online store against a bricks and mortar store. Here's what he had to say earlier. Well, hi, Ruslan. Thanks for joining us on the Tech Guide podcast. It's the business end of the year. I'm great, mate. Yeah, it's the business end of the year for you, isn't it?
It is. It's obviously for any retailer, it's a crazy time of Christmas coming up, and it's pretty funny because you have all the all the external parties you deal with, the banks and financial people and all of that, requesting lunches because it's a quiet and festive time of year. And you're like, no, not for us. Come back to us in January.
Absolutely. And I noticed some figures you've released too, just based on your traffic from your website, from Kogan.com. And interesting stats there regarding how men and women, how they differ in the way they shop and the devices they use. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Yeah, so we've analysed millions of visitors to the site, and we get quite a bit of information on aggregate in terms of trends. And one of the interesting things has been that women have been more accepting of mobile technology, and they're earlier adopters than men of it. So far more women do their shopping on a tablet or a mobile device than men, and also we've seen that when it comes to the whole, iPhone versus Android, you've got a lot more men using Android than women.
Okay, that's interesting stuff. So you mentioned the amount of traffic through the site. What's hot this Christmas? What are people buying?
Oh, everything from micro USB cables all the way through to 65-inch 4K TVs, but. Mm-hmm. This time of year, it's a lot of remote control toys mm-hmm. are purchased. So, your drones and helicopters and things like that. But also sales of smartphones and tablets kick up significantly.
Yeah, I was going to mention that. I'd assume tablets would be pretty high up on people's list there. And you sell a range of tablets at Kogan.com. What are we seeing that the tablets are a very popular item along with smartphones?
Yeah, look, tablets are very popular and sales definitely skyrocket at this time of year. But in general, market wide, tablets aren't as popular now as they were perhaps 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I guess the big trend there has been the move to phablets, that everyone, everyone is getting a bigger and bigger smartphone, and when they have a 6-inch iPhone, they're sort of saying, well, do I now need a phone and a tablet as well, or do I just need a phone?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's a fair point. I suppose we've seen the iPhone 6 Plus, which is 5.5-inch, the Galaxy Note 4, which is 5.7. So these are obviously popular devices that can be purchased through Kogan.com, I'm assuming. And you're right, there definitely is a trend there.
Yeah, and even now with the Nexus 6 coming out, and that's 6-inch, that's, you know, everyone's sort of saying before the launch of these phones, oh, that's too big, it's not going to fit in my pocket, don't want it.
Yeah.
But then you notice once these bigger phones are released, and anyone who buys them is, I don't know how I lived without one. So, you know, I'm still undecided myself. I've got a Nexus 5 that I use.
Yep.
So it'll be interesting to see whether I ditch my tablet and phone and go just for the Nexus.
Just the one device? So, yeah, I think that's a great point. I think where does it stop, though? Like how big is that screen in your pocket going to get? Like I know 6 inches... Even a year ago, people would have thought you were crazy carrying a device around that size. Now it seems to be the trend. So where does it stop? Are we going to clothing manufacturers going to have build bigger pockets in our clothes?
It's interesting. Yeah, like I remember, back when I had a Nokia 5110, then a 6110, and then the 8210 came out, and that was so small, and everyone wanted the smaller phone. And now the trend's heading in the other direction. Everyone wants a bigger phone.
Mm-hmm.
And you're spot on. Clothing manufacturers are going to have to say, well, you know, everyone's carrying a big phone in their pockets. We need to increase the pocket size.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, let's change gears a bit here. Let's talk smart TVs. Now, obviously, TVs are a big part of your business over there at Kogan.com. What are you noticing that customers are going for those bigger size screens? Like what are you noticing with all your customers coming through the site there?
Yeah, look, just the whole trend of TVs getting cheaper and cheaper, people are naturally going for a bigger and bigger screen size. And the other trend we're noticing is that, you know, 10 years ago, a TV used to be the showpiece in somebody's lounge room and they had one TV in their household. Now people have a TV in the living room, one in each of the bedrooms, one in the kitchen, one in the bathroom, because you can get a 19-inch TV for $150. So that trend is, you know, there's a trend of, in general, people are getting bigger TVs, and then the other trend of they're buying more TVs for their house.
Sure.
But we're seeing, this is the stuff that surprises me all the time. We're seeing huge sales in 4K TVs. And even for our display 4K TVs that, you know, we've got in the office to show off to our staff and the event you were at CES earlier this year where we launched our 4K TV, we needed a specialized computer connected to it to be able to show 4K footage. So it looks like people are very keen on being ready for the future. And they know that even though at the moment 4K content is pretty hard to come by, they're getting ready for, you know, what's going to happen in a year or 2 years when 4K content's more readily available.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree with that. I think that the purchasing decision behind 4K and Ultra HD, which is kind of the same thing, is very much about future-proofing your purchase. And you're spot on. The content is not there. But when it does come through, we're going to certainly take advantage of that. But the other thing I wanted to mention too was, not only do you have the 4K TVs, but you also have smart TVs. Are you finding that your customers are taking the trouble to connect their TVs? Do you have any data surrounding that where they are not just putting it in the corner and not connecting it? Are your customers getting online with their TVs?
Yeah, look, from the feedback we get from our customers and obviously through our customer service team who help people set up their TVs, there's definitely a lot of people connecting a smart TV. The thing with it is that, our smart TVs use Android, which makes it pretty handy for people in terms of finding apps to put onto it and things like that. But we're noticing in feedback that we're getting that there's a lot of people out there who don't even bother connecting their TV to the antenna port anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're just interested in getting the smart TV function and they sit around the couch with their mates playing YouTube video after YouTube video.
Mm-hmm.
So people are becoming more and more accustomed to watch what they want when they want, rather than the whole linear TV model that dictates what you're going to watch and when. So, you know, there's a trend in that direction. It's still early adopters at this stage, even though the technology has been around for a while. But, you know, I'd be pretty confident in saying that, you know, give it 5 years and the majority of TV viewing will be via the internet.
For sure. Well, we know that, your site, Kogan.com, offers very, very competitive prices compared to bricks and mortar stores. And the reason that that happens is that you kind of cut out a lot of middlemen and bring customers, products direct to customers. I do get asked on the radio, people look at your prices online and they kind of look for people like myself to say, look, I'm thinking of buying a Kogan TV, and they see the price, and I think some of them, and I'm sure you may get this feedback yourself, a lot of them think, is that too good to be true, that price? What's the catch here? How are you sort of feeling in terms of customer confidence, people are going ahead and making those purchases? What's the feeling there amongst the customers?
Yeah. So look, when we first started selling TVs online, when the business launched in 2006, we were the first company in Australia to sell TVs online. And at the time, the general feedback was, nobody's going to buy a TV without seeing it first. You need to see a TV and try it in a store before you buy it. Mm-hmm. And I thought at the time, well, look, if you're going to have experts review the product, if you're going to have reviews online, independent reviews, if you're going to have all the information available on the internet for people to make a purchase decision and a 14-day money-back guarantee, they'll have the confidence to purchase. Now, we've sold over 4 million products. It's actually very close to 5 million at the moment. And, you know, the more that gains traction, the more somebody has the ability to ask their mate, oh, how's your Kogan TV, and then have confidence over it. But also, what we rely on and what we've been saying is that online shopping is actually much safer than buying in a store, because if you walk into a store to buy a TV, you might get to play with it for 2 minutes, you know, try the remote control, see how the TV works. Whereas if you do a Google search for a review of that product, or, you know, follow someone like yourself who does a detailed review of products very often, you actually get a much better opinion on the product than if you play with it yourself in the store. You know, you'll be able to, in the review, say whether the buttons on the remote are well positioned, whether the remote control works from various angles, how the TV is during the day and during the night, how easy the menus are to use. You know, you get a much more detailed opinion on the product than anything you could do yourself in a store in a couple of minutes with a pushy salesperson standing next to you. Like, I bought a car recently, and when I got offered a test drive of the car, I told them, no, I don't need it. Just give me the paperwork, I'll buy the car. Because I had watched so many reviews of this car online and read all about it from experts who understand this stuff. Like, I don't know how to test a car properly.
Yeah,
you know, I'm not a professional mechanic and know the difference between the various engines and all of that. So, the opinion of an expert online is much more important to me than anything I could do myself. Yeah. So we're noticing that trend come through, and a lot of people Google the products, they read the reviews, then they make the purchases.
So you're saying that that's kind of a weakness of a bricks and mortar store, where you mentioned kind of the pushy salesperson. They've got a motivation to sell you a TV with, or whatever the product they happen to be selling, with the biggest margin or whatever influences they've got working in the background. Do you feel that's a bit of a weakness in the terms of the physical store, where they don't have that expert opinion? Although a lot of people do look online before they go into the store, but can you see what I mean? Is that sort of a weakness of the physical store?
It's definitely a weakness, and there's all sorts of things going on in the background in physical stores where they might be told, oh, look, this month you're going to get this much rebate on this brand, so they tell the salespeople to push this brand to consumers. So then they might go and lower the brightness on all the other TVs and boost the brightness on that TV. So when you look at all of them on a wall, that TV looks much better. Mm-hmm. But, You know, there's all these sorts of tricks of the trade that they do, but the main thing is, like, you're there under pressure with a salesperson next to you trying to evaluate a product,
yeah.
and you're not an expert at evaluating that sort of product. Mm-hmm. When you get somebody like yourself evaluating it, you can comment on things like, oh, you know, it was handy that it had four HDMI ports, but only these two ports do 1080p, so you can only connect a Blu-ray player and your Xbox to it. Mm-hmm. You know, like these sort of things, like a detailed review of actual
sure.
things that matter to the consumer, which you can't do in a store.
Absolutely. But what about, there is some hesitation, though, from customers. I think that we obviously, we like the great prices and people are, you know, can't wait to get the product. But what about at the after the purchase? And you mentioned you've got a customer service team. What happens when things don't go right for the customer? What's in place there for you to look after customers who are not having the products not working or the experience isn't how they expected? What have you guys got in place to give the customer peace of mind?
So that's another area where people tend to think that it's safer to buy from a bricks and mortar store and don't realize how transparent the internet is. We can't afford an upset customer because the moment they go onto blogs and forums and post negative comments, that's significantly damaging to our brand. When you walk into a bricks and mortar store, you have no idea what the last 100,000 customers thought of the service in that store. Were they given accurate information? Was the salesperson helpful? And all of that sort of stuff. Uh-huh. Online, all you have to do is go to Google and type Kogan review and read it all. So we're in a very transparent marketplace, and that pushes us to ensure that we offer first-class service all the time. So the level of transparency is just insane, and the consumer's the real beneficiary of that.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate you chatting to us here on Tech Guide, and have a great Christmas.
Thanks, Steve. All the best.
Tech Guide. Now, answering all your tech questions, the Tech Guide Help Desk.
All right, our Tech Guide Help Desk question is from a reader who hit our forums asking if there was a device that could help his granddad, or his dad, I think, to prevent him leaving his keys behind. Now, there is a device that allows you, a couple of devices, one made by Elgato and one made by Kensington, pretty much the same thing. Now, what it consists of is an app on your smartphone and a fob keychain for your keys. Now, the fob connects to the smartphone via the app via Bluetooth. So you put your keys on the fob, the smartphone in your pocket, and when the two are separated by a certain distance, an alarm goes off, whether it's on the phone or on the keys. So that is a really handy way. If you're one of these forgetful types, if you're the sort of person who gets up and leaves your keys on the table or your smartphone on the table, once these are separated by a distance of more than 10 meters, so once that Bluetooth link is broken, then you're given an alert. And if you do leave and maybe not hear the alert, you can, on your smartphone, locate where your keys were last. So it's a really handy way to do it. The Elgato Smart Key is the one that I've written about on Tech Guide. Kensington have a very similar product. The pricing is about the $60, $70 mark. Look for the models from Elgato, the smartphone. Also, same sort of device from Kensington. They're the two that we've written about in Tech Guide. So they've got they're certified to be water and dust proof, so they can handle that day-to-day use on your keys. And the app, of course, is free to download to your phone. So a great way to prevent you leaving something behind, whether it's your keys or your phone. This will give you an alert. So if you're Mr. Forgetful, this might be just the product for you. And that's the end of our show for this week. Everything we've spoken about can be viewed at the new look, techguide.com.au. Check out the site. We've had a redesign and some exciting new features that we're going to introduce as well. Please check it out. If you want to get in touch with us, email us at info@techguide.com.au. Special thanks to our sponsors, Netgear, the brand you can trust for all your Wi-Fi needs. If you want to stay connected, the answer is Netgear. Thanks for listening. It's been great having you with us once again, and we look forward to you joining us again next week. So until then, stay safe and stay connected.